Dude, that's why I would love to like have a point like once a year where we just do like try to like emulate
Dude.
that in here where we're not like doing Bear Mountain stuff, but we're
We're just
using like,
making something.
yeah, like we're all using like all the equipment and the stations for that, so that because that's like really what I want, but it's like,
Dude, BMS LAN Party
yeah,
2026.
and then
That
we
could
do
get
a drop of like all
rambunctious.
the stuff that
Yeah.
was made at it, like.
That actually, dude, I mean, that's always been the most fun. Like working with people like that, like the first real experience I had working with like huge artists was I went to Melt in, it was 2021. 2021 I went to Melt. Like this is when I was like working for Champs, like working in their glass games with Maddie White and
That was a
Kyle
wild time to
White
go to
and
Mount, dude, during the pandy and everything.
bro, and this is fucked up because like we had been in, dude, that whole thing was a fucking nightmare.
I
A,
know, I heard stories about
dude,
that
A, it was a
Mount.
fucking nightmare because like we're like we. The first dab of the day.
Second one. The first one was on a pivot this morning when I was testing those pivot tops.
Nice.
See how they were functioning.
Nice.
Make sure they were good to go.
Which
Turbine
one did you
spinner.
function on, dude?
Just clear ones. The
Yeah.
clear RBR ones. I was testing
Oh
the water
yeah.
tops because, you know, there's a little more variables there. But yeah. Well, it's up, everybody, and welcome to episode 175 of the podcast. Today's a very special episode. We have one of our people from our team. We have Patrick here, Chadwick Glass. And yeah, today we're going to sit down, hang out. I want to ask Chad some questions. Not Chad, but
That's
I had to
okay,
say,
dude. That's good.
I had to say that,
That's
dude.
good. That's
I had
good.
to ask Patrick some questions about how he started Glass, how he got into it. That way you can learn a little bit more about Patrick and his work and how much he contributes here at Bear Mountain Studios and does for us. Before we do that, I'm gonna take a real quick dab because I don't even think the first one was on there. That was just,
Not quite
we were
yet.
just priming it
Yeah.
up. So that's fine. I'm gonna take another dab, get it going. That way we make sure we cannot monetize this and we have age restriction right out the gate.
Yeah.
We don't want anyone seeing any of this awesome content we make. So
No,
let me
dude.
do a dab real quick here. But yeah, dude, what year did you start blowing glass, Patrick?
Fuck. I think the first time I ever touched glass was 2013.
Jesus.
I think I was like, do some math. I was 16 the first time I touched
That's crazy,
glass.
dude.
Yeah.
I couldn't
Yeah.
imagine being like a teenager and like even having the like thought of and like idea to like manipulate and work glass. Like
Yeah.
I was like, but I guess it's like where you were living. Like you were like here in Colorado Springs, like probably had access to like the actual like people doing the
Yeah.
artwork. Where I was in the middle of nowhere, there was nobody doing it. Where I was in a farm town. So, but that's crazy.
Yeah.
16 years old to like touch glass. But then, like, when you really started working, it was probably a few years later. Or,
I was 18 when
yeah,
I actually like, you know, got on a torch and started like
trying to do it.
making stuff, you know,
Yeah.
started with like, I don't know, I think the first thing I tried to make was a couple implosions. I was over in, you know, Pedro Grimes' studio hanging out with him and he's like, "Hey, like you wanna I got these three torches. You want to try it out? You're more than welcome to." Because I was hanging out over there all the time when he was blowing glass, and it just ended up being, you know, we had like a really good like friendship for a while there, and after like a couple times of just playing around with stuff, he like showed me how to do like really old school Incalmo blowouts where you just like pop a hole, put some color on it, blow it
Yeah.
out,
Yeah.
and then. You know, I made a couple of things like that, and he's like, "Hey, like, now that you gotta know this, you wanna like make these dab straws? I have an order for dab straws." Like, hell yeah! So I
Damn.
started making dab straws, and then made my first recycler like 4 months into blowing glass, and
Damn.
like,
So this was like 2015, 2016-ish, right around there.
yeah, like 2016, I
That
think.
was like when the glass scene, I feel like, was at one of its golden eras as far as, but that could be because that's when I was first getting into it too, and everything just seemed so like crazy and
I mean, that's when
like
the magic was in the industry
yeah,
more,
for
you
sure the
know.
magic. That's what I mean. Like there was just like something that like we were all like so hyped and like
Yeah.
working towards something and like I still feel like that now, but I feel like I don't see it as much in our colleagues and peers. I see a little bit more of like people like not stoked.
Yeah.
So, and like I'm hyped on what we're doing. I feel good about what we're doing, but it was more fun when I saw like way more of like colleagues and friends like also kind of doing their thing and like pursuing shit.
No, I mean, it was when like the information wasn't really being shared, so there was like a mystery about all of it.
For
sure. You know, like when people finally started getting comfortable showing things and, you know, doing these online demos, and Glasscraft blew up all of those online things. Yep. You didn't have to go to the class and spend, you could spend a couple $100 and get the demos online. I mean, it added to the magic, but it also like really showed like everybody has their own way of doing it, and like it really just builds off the simpleness of like, hey, this is how you spin something
for sure,
and this is where you put it in the flame.
It's like, I think one of the things I saw too is back then, once I started noticing like everybody and their brother was opening an online gallery, I was like, oh man, like what's happening? This might be not good. If like, because there was like this certain point where we would like, I don't know if you ever experienced this, but like if a certain smoke shop or head shop picked up your work, it like was a big deal. You're like, damn, they bought some pieces for me. This is huge. I can't wait for them to post my work. Like, it legitimizes me.
Yeah.
It makes other shops and collectors go, oh, damn, so-and-so bought some stuff from Patrick?
Yeah.
He's legit. Like, so, like, and I feel like once everybody and their brother started having a gallery, like, it's almost like that oversaturation thing happens where some of the magic gets a little diluted.
Well, I think everybody was like, you know, those backpack kids in the back, like, back in the day where they're like, we got this money, now we gotta like turn it into something that can actually be tangible so I can take home
that
money.
That was a massive percentage of the industry's foundation.
Yeah.
That black market backpack kids that would just come in and have cash in Colorado and be like, I'll just take this. That's like one of those things that like the average consumer or person that like a weekend collector will never realize, is that like a huge fundamental part of like the push in this industry was almost like people like cleaning money with glass and
shit.
Oh,
I mean,
it was like,
if you look at those really big purchases back in the day, it was people legitimizing their acres in Cali.
Yeah.
You know, like we just cropped. We have to like, the bank won't take this money. It smells like weed. I need to like go buy something that doesn't smell like weed.
Yeah. And it's like, it's just crazy to think about how much the black market actually influenced the actual culture itself. But again, why wouldn't it? Because the black, like that like black market was, it was always like that forever until they started doing legalization and medical marijuana. So it should be a big fundamental part, but I feel like something happened and changed where like the black market is not the same, and it affected the whole entire glass scene.
Well, like, I really think that happened like when, like, you know, rec started. And, like, everybody had that race to the bottom. But then, you know, a couple years ago, all the banks started letting all of the money go in from dispensaries, like, real dispensaries. And it's, like, we didn't realize how much unlegitimate revenue those people were actually making.
Yeah.
So, like, now that they can put it in a bank, why not?
Yeah.
You know, grow interest as opposed to, like, lose money buying a $30,000 Hetty.
Yeah.
Selling it for $15,000 and you still legitimized your money. But, like, yeah, it's...
I'm grateful that we came up in the time where we, like, weren't at the top of that. We got to be like kind of like work towards like someday we'll be good enough or like be good enough this art that like we'll be at that level and like we'll have those opportunities or be able to make those heady pieces. But now it's like I've seen how much like the industry's changed, and I'm like stoked I got to experience that perspective from where I was standing as opposed to being like on top at that era.
Yeah,
even though it probably was cool, but
it probably was super cool. I mean, lots of money during that for like you're actually selling yourself for what you think your value is always cool.
Yeah.
But like, I feel like a lot of people are realizing that they have to humble themselves and understand like that market doesn't exist and probably won't ever again.
Yeah.
Until we hit like that high dollar fine art, you know, like fine art will always be sold for lots of money because it's, you know, beauty in the eye of the beholder.
Yeah.
And like whatever somebody wants to spend on it, they're going to spend on it. And like, you know, dude, I still have that like, this fantasy in my head that like I still, you know, every day I come in and I blow glass, I still feel like I did like the first couple years I was blowing glass.
Yeah,
like, the next one's gonna be the best one.
Like, for sure.
That's the truth.
I feel the same way.
Like I remember like really learning a lot. Like I was in DBK, you know, Avant-Garde, their studio, and I would just annoy Dylan by like asking him as many questions as I possibly could, interrupting his workflow completely. Like, you know,
you would never do that, dude. That's not what you would do. No. That's crazy.
Oh, dude, but I mean, I would go to like, you know, I was in college. I'd go to school for like 3 hours, do a presentation, walk into the studio with a tie still on, blow glass for 4 hours, go back to college. And like those entire times I was like at school, I was fantasizing about the next move I'm going to do, the next thing I'm going to do.
Oh, that's the best, dude. When you, there's that time comes and goes now for me, and I when I'm in those moments, that's when I have to try to create some different shit.
Yeah.
But there was a time when I first started that, like, I couldn't, like, sleep. I was, like, just thinking about, like, all the shit I was going to do with glass and the ideas, and, like, I couldn't work enough because I was like, I gotta try this next thing. Like, that's the best, dude.
I mean, I experienced that last week doing that thing I made with that kid, but... yeah, I mean, I experienced that again recently, which I haven't felt in quite a long time, you know? Like,
and
I think
it feels good.
The last real time I felt that was working with Pogo on that fucking SMG. That thing took, you know, probably a month of my life away from me with the amount of, like, planning and, like, execution.
A lot of pieces are like that, dude.
Dude, just long nights of just...
That's why even if someone has, like, something, like, priced really crazy to someone, I'm like, some of these pieces are priced in a way, not so much, like, ours. Ours is real, like, material and man hours, but, like, there's artists out there where someone's like, how is that 20K? And I'm like, well, you don't know how long that lived in that person's head or how long they worked. Yeah. Like, they could have taken them a couple years to pull that off in the way they wanted to, like, there's, like, little to no information of what it took. So whatever the price is on that piece of art, like, there's probably a story behind it. Or there's not. The person's just like, yeah, that's what it is. Either way, that's up to you as the collector to, you know. Yeah. If the information's not there for you, you can assume your own.
Yeah. You know? 100%. I mean, like, dude, like, going and talking to some of those, like, you know, those, like, big dudes. Like, when at that Wook show when Buck and Adam G pulled out that lion.
Yeah.
You know, like, I asked him, like, how many hours are in that? He's like, dude, it's not even hours. It's like years at this point in time. And he's like, dude, just to even make the last two hookah whips, I had to pull a 30-pound crucible of North Star yellow. And I'm
it's
like,
so
oh,
crazy
well,
to
that
think
alone
about.
Is just, you know, he had to turn that thing on and let it sit for a couple days to even.
There's so much preparation and work into these pieces. Yeah. Like, so like cost is like on some of those to me, I'm like, yeah, there could be no justification, but to me, there most of them there is. It's just like maybe you can't like physically like hold it or have it explained to you, but a lot of that shit is just lives in people's head rent free for a year or two, just trying to figure out how they're even gonna pull it off. Like even like your recent collab, like I'm sure it was in your head for a couple weeks about exactly what you wanted to do and where you wanted to do put things. And then that's the fun thing with the glass too, is the puzzle.
Yeah.
Like, and it's not like that for everyone, but for me it truly is. It's like solving the puzzle and like building it in a way that's not only aesthetically pleasing, but it's strong, it's structural, like,
it's there, you know, like the it's really just realizing that you can turn anything from idea into, you know,
that's the coolest part about being a human product. Dude, I think is like taking something out of your brain that's not, it's just like a cloud up there, and then making it into a physical object. That shit's crazy. Like literally that's such a wild thing. You can over romanticize anything though, but that's how I like to live my life though. I think
when you're like this deep into it, I think you have to romanticize it, because otherwise you start questioning the validity of what your scope is, you know?
Yeah,
like,
dude,
and you know, dude, even like with those projects, like I still ask you questions, like I it was on my mind, like, yo, how would I go about this and how would you think about this?
Yeah,
and that's like the coolest thing about working with you is being able to just, like, you know, trampoline ideas back and forth to each other and, like, come up with new ways to do similar things, but, like, cleaner, faster.
Dude, same thing with working with you, though, man. Like, there's a bunch of things I've implemented into my process just from, like, learning from you and, like, watching you do stuff. Because, like, that's the best part about working with other people, if you can find people that are worth working next to, is that, like, you find, like, things that you can implement into your process that makes everything that much better or more efficient. Or and then oftentimes too, we find here is that like we may try each other's tech, and even if that doesn't work, we might take parts of it out of it and then do it in our own way, but we get to the same destination.
Yeah,
like our paths might be a little bit different, but like the final destination is still the same thing. And it's like, yeah, so that's the thing that's cool about glass. It's not so cookie cutter where it's like, you have to do it this way. It's like everyone can kind of have their own style, the way they pull things off and do things. It doesn't have to be exact. Like, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's where it really becomes the art form. You know, like, there is a definite wrong way to do things, because, like, you're going to run into the same issue every time you try it that way. And, I mean, unless you can realize, like, hey, I might be doing something that is counterintuitive to this process that we're working on right now.
Like, dude, I saw a post recently on Torch Talk of a guy getting this surface stress from obviously
lighting
the glass. Dude,
what the fuck was that?
And in my head, I was like, dude, if like right now you're questioning why is this happening, because I've been there, brother. In my first 6 months, I had some shit like that happen when I fritted tube and the whole thing gets stressed out because I didn't get hot enough on the outside. Whatever. And I'm like, I'm looking at that and like I know he's trying to make like a functional pipe or something, and I'm like, dude, so many other, if this is where you're, if you're getting hung up on this part, dude, there's so many other steps that are gonna just be impossible. Well, like, and that's the fun part about glass is like, I love that, like, those types of platforms where you're having all different people skill levels posting, because it almost reminds me of, like, shit I was going through when I first started, being like, why is this happening to me? But I didn't, like, have Torch Talk to post on them back then. Now people, and most people are very nice. They're like, and I had the same questions. I'd look at the comments. I was like, people are like, is the lathe off, or is, like, your chuck loose or something? Like, yeah, that's happening from the glass getting a little twisted, or something's dragging
to
create that.
You know, what it looked like to me is that was my first question, is what torch are you working? Like,
yeah,
well, you know, like obviously true, something isn't hot enough.
Dude, that's the thing too. Like your flame is hot enough to get it moving, but then you have a cooling flame going as well somehow. Mm. So you're like cooling what is hot. Yeah. Like it's, I don't know, glass. I feel lucky that I was able to make it through that threshold quick enough to start progressing so I could actually afford material because I sold some shit and keep learning, because that's kind of one of the big filters with glass is I feel like a lot of people want to try it, but it's very expensive to pursue it. And a lot of people literally run out of money. They're like, dude, I cannot afford to even like buy gas or fucking material right now.
That's like a conversation I've had with my wife, like when she first started getting into blowing glass. Like, and she's like, the intro cost into this is just crazy, because I'm like, yeah, I mean, like, you're an actual artist, you can take a piece of paper and like a marker and like, something really beautiful, but like the piece of paper you're working with in glass is, you know, a $20 tube, and the paintbrush you're using is $1,000 torch, exactly. You know, like just like basic costs, like you got a $300 torch, you got, you know, $100 in lines, $200 in regulators, a mini torch, and like,
and there's
know,
like there's also there's also safety issues. Like the paintbrush isn't gonna explode in your face.
You can't burn yourself with a paintbrush.
Paintbrush won't burn your house down. Like there's like, it's like there's a lot of like variables. That's the thing with glass, is like it has such a filter, like the barrier to entry of becoming like a pipe maker. Even if you get to the point of getting it all set up, then you realize you try to post your art, and the way all algorithms are set, they're like, no, we're not going to show anyone that. And then it's like, well, fuck, dude. Like, literally, I'm doing the hardest. Like, you other creators that just, like, do basic shit that's, like, cool as hell, but it's not going to get, like, flagged.
Yeah.
They have a hard time getting reach. And I'm like, try getting reach when the shit you're making, like, literally, like...
It's illegal in some states.
Yeah, like, it's... And not saying that I won't, you know, under 21 should be watching videos of an adult smoking hash all day, but the point is, if someone wants to, it's of age, they should be able to.
Yeah.
And it's, we just don't have the right platform, I guess. Yeah. But either way, the point is, it's hard to get reach, let alone be able to afford all the equipment, there's so many variables to getting to a point where glass is sustainable, where you can even buy material.
Dude, 100%. I even remember, like, the first time I, you know, rented space over at Dylan's fucking shop over there, where the, you know, the award winner won his it's not over here, the award winner,
it's up there,
you know?
It's up there, my trophy, dude. His trophy, it's all my videos.
But you know, dude, like the first time I remember renting over there, like, oh, it's $25 a day, and I'm like, fuck, I can't make $25 in a day. You know, that's... like, I don't know what I'm doing, like, and I could use a Red Max with a fucking hot kiln in front of me where I got less than a foot to work. Hell yeah, let's do it.
The one thing I found with what you just said, most glass blowers I know right now that were successful or still are successful, at some point they had a garden or a hash connect, and there was a little bit of supplemental income in between the art, and we would buy lots of material. And it's like, there's some people that did it without it, but they might have had some help from family or something. It's very rare I find someone that's like, yeah, I worked at 7-Eleven, and every time I would break some shit, I would work for like a week to afford another piece of tubing. Like, no, it's like, I sold some hash, or I sold some this, or like, I had a family member that believed in me and gave me a fucking loan.
Like, that's, I mean, like, dude, like, you know, shout out to my dad buying me my first torch.
Dude,
he actually brought that up the other day. He's like, yeah, I loaned you $1,000 and never got paid on us. It was a gift, you know?
Like, dude, yeah. My mom, like, legit went and got like a loan from the bank with her name on it for me. So I could get my first torch stuff, and then I sold a bunch of our like landscape equipment, and we just put all the money together. We're like, all right, we got this much, and we just bought everything.
We can buy everything.
And then we just start, and then I started working for another landscape company, and then just practice glass blowing every night when I got back from landscaping all day. Yeah. It's like crazy how like how much better it is now. Things still are hard. Like, it's just life.
Every day is a trial.
But it's like crazy how much nicer things are now compared to like what they were.
Yeah.
So with you, did like the weed come before the glass? Like you're into weed and then you're like, I'm gonna get into glass? Or
yeah, the weed came first, you know, like, and that's like the really funny thing about it is I didn't know, you know, fucking going into high school, my brother's like, oh, we always go to this concert in August, it's Reggae on the Rocks and there's a lot of pot smoke, so you at least have to be comfortable with the pot smoking. And I was like, all right, I'll smoke some pot, like freshman in high school.
Yeah.
And, you know, we went to that concert, and then, like, I remember my brother had a pipe from Earth Pig, which, like, Earth Pig, old school shop down on the, you know, the west side over there.
Sick.
And I was like, fuck, dude, that thing's really cool. And, like, one of my, I think it was, you know, my buddy's older brother went into Earth Pig. Like, we're like, oh, we're gonna look at these, we're gonna go look at the albums over here.
Yeah.
You buy me a pipe, you know? That's so. He's like holding them up, and I'm like looking over. I'm like, yeah, I want that one.
Dude, that origin story is actually very sick because of like where you were in Colorado.
Yeah.
And then smoking for one of the first times being at like Red Rocks.
Yeah.
Like, and then going into like a famous, like classic head shop experience. And like, that's very like, you couldn't even pay for that experience. No. Like, it's a very, like, authentic, organic way and very cool way to
origin story. I feel like I'm one of, like, you know, like, the kids that are my age and my friend group are some of the last people that are, like, able to experience what that was. Like, the nuance of, like, oh, we got to kind of, like, be quiet about this. But, like, we're going to go in there. We're going to buy a pipe, you know? And then, like, you know, a couple months into it, I was hanging out with a couple of my buddies and we're, like, he, like, pulled out this Frit spoon. It was a Rasta with black Frit spin-up spoon from Dylan. Like, and
yeah.
I was like, damn, dude, that thing's fucking sick. We called it Black Mamba.
It was love it, dude.
Tiny little fucking Frit pipe. I don't,
dude, it was the headiest thing ever.
Dude, it was. Still it's till this day. It has so much value. I wish that pipe still existed. You know, like, dude, I don't even smoke anymore, but this pipe was like, you know, like, this was like our childhood. Like, us growing into being like who we are today. And like, we bought, like, he had that. And so then I'm sick. Like, we need to go, like, we need to go in this shop.
Yeah.
And like, dude, I remember walking into that shop and, you know, Mary was working behind the counter. They had this little Aussie named Willow. And I was like, oh, this is a cute dog. I have Aussies. And there she's like, look at me. She's like, what is this fucking 14-year-old doing in my shop
this right now? This kid shouldn't be in here.
And like, you know, it's like on it. It says, do not, like, these are tobacco pipes, you know. Like, dude, classic. little room with, like, just glass in it. And, you know, like, Dylan always had his, like, golf clubs over there. And his golf clubs always smelled like weed. And I'm like, damn, dude, these people know what's up. And
just,
I was like,
just plays golf.
I like, walk over there and I'm like, oh, dude, these pipes are really cool. And she's like, yeah, this one, like, we've thrown at the wall. It's indestructible. Like, throw it. And then she's like, throw it at the wall. And I'm like, all right, cool. And she's like, put a little check mark down. It's been thrown another time. And then I was like, can I buy this? And she's like, yeah.
That's so sick.
Didn't care because it's art, you know. Like, they've always seen it as art. And you know, I have to give a lot of it, you know, back to Dylan and Mary because, like, without that experience glass right there, like,
the OG.
Without that experience right there, I wouldn't have ever, like, you know, respected what glass is. Then for the next 4 years, me and my crew of friends would go in there and buy, you know, new Sherlocks, new bubblers, new dab rigs, like, you name it, we were buying it. Like, but then we really got into hash and, like, Dylan was making these little UFO things with the nail you drop through, and we're like, I'm like, fuck, I need one of those.
Dude, that's like real life experiences, dude. My origin story is so like all early YouTube and like being influenced by the internet and then just like getting hash and just smoking like by myself and like learning all about it and be upset because where I lived, no one smoked hash. No one had anything or knew anything about it.
Yeah.
And it's like, I definitely am like, damn, that's so sick. I feel like that's why I'm such an internet person now because I started getting into weed on the internet and like learning about, that was all my origin story was stuff I learned on YouTube and stuff. So it wasn't like going to the head shop and getting the pipe like that.
We didn't even know that stuff was on YouTube because like it was all here, you know. Yeah. Like I do, like I was talking to Evan, like, earlier, and I'm like, dude, I've never smoked swag before.
Yeah,
like, dude, all we ever smoked is medical.
Yeah, you know? No, like you guys have had good weed the whole time. No, dude, I used to, dude, no lie, one time Cassie's cousin got in trouble for like drugs or something, or maybe passed away, I'm not sure. Something happened. But we got a bag of old, dirty pipes that they found in his bedroom that his family didn't know what to do with. I think they might have been nervous to throw them out because they didn't want, like,
they didn't want to come back to them. Yeah. Oh, they went through my dumpster and they found,
they don't
like,
know how it works. So I think they just gave them to us. And then I was like, oh, damn. And then, like, I literally scraped all the these bowls, these old resin pipes. And I had a fucking, like, bag of resin. I was like, damn, dude, I'm, like, living good, yeah, dude. I'm, like, yeah. set. Like, yeah. This is insane. Look, I was so happy. I remember how happy I was that. And it was the oldest, dude. Some of these were maybe 5, 6, 7, 8-year-old resin bowls.
That makes me want to throw up thinking about the flavor of what you're smoking. Oh, dude, like, my throat is on fire. And
dude, I literally remember making... I literally remember going out to my Keurig and making a pumpkin spice Keurig fucking little cup thing. And I was like, dude, I'm so fancy. I put pumpkin spice, like Coffee Mate, in it. And then I went and pecked a resin bowl. And I was like ripping it. And I kept almost throwing up. And I would just drink some coffee. And be like, oh, yeah, that coffee's so good, dude. But then I was like, dude, it was so bad. And like, I think back to it now and I probably looked like I had a problem. But the point is I didn't. And I was having fun. I just didn't have access to good weed. But then I'd watch YouTube videos of like, people in Colorado, like Token Daily and stuff, like going to like these big dispensaries and showing different hash and weed, and I'd pretend, I'd be like, oh, I'm gonna smoke this resin bowl, and I'm gonna watch him smoke fireweed, and I'm gonna pretend, dude,
bro,
like, dude, it was bad. That's right. Now look at me now.
I had the most, you know, talking about the internet and fucking watching people smoke weed. This is like later on in life, but my old like roommate Hunter HCF Glass, we were sitting in his like. His apartment one day, and we're like watching this dude like rip this fucking bong and blow it out. It was Matias.
Yeah.
Watching Matias rip this bong and blow it out, and out of nowhere, I'm like, bro, I feel like I'm like smoking that. What the fuck? And I like look over, and he was like decarbing oil, and it was on fire in his oven. Yeah, like, dude, just like the entire house was hot dogs. And I'm like, I'm smoking this dab. This kid just blew up.
Just like chilling on a couch.
Hunter runs over and grabs it. The fucking tray's on fire. And you're just smoking, dude.
That's fucking so tight. That actually sounds pretty hilarious. So like awesome. But you're just sitting there watching the smoke on the video. And
it's like creeping in. There's like smoke
actually creeping in. You're like, wait, we're not smoking yet, dude.
We're not smoking yet.
Yeah. Yeah, I've definitely, you know, at home extractions can get a little bit sticky.
Yeah, that is.
You know, I've had my moments for sure. You know, I mean, I used to smoke so much hash, I didn't even know what day it was.
Yeah.
Not in a bad way, in a totally healthy, normal way. But, like,
I've been there.
I was making hash on my porch, and I've said this before, I didn't realize it was Halloween. A bunch of kids walked up behind me in costumes, and I was like, what the fuck? And they're like, trick or treat, and I'm like, what do you mean? Like, what day is it? Like, this is crazy. I thought it was August. Like, it's just like...
It's like, no.
I'm, like, up there, like, blasting cans of Vector into a Pyrex dish. Yeah. Oh, yeah, dude. And, like, I have the column all set up. I'm, like, on my front porch in the middle of, like, a swampy little valley, middle of nowhere country. Like, no one's around.
Gremlins coming up asking for candy. Dude, literally.
And, like, on my porch where, like, the raccoons live at night when I'm not out there. Like, it's not, like, a nice porch. Like, it's... Dude, like, it's crazy. I was like, this is a problem. I was like, I have nothing for you. No. I was like, you have to go. I'm sorry.
Like, please leave. This is like, flammable.
Yeah, this is not...
This is don't tell your parents what I'm doing over here either.
No, it's like the kids went up on the porch and the parents stayed on the sidewalk. And I was just like, I'm sorry. I don't have anything.
Yeah.
I have Velveeta cheese. I have half a brick left. I can cut it in thirds for you kids. You just want a little... Dude,
I'd be so mad if some fucking dude on his porch blasting hash whips out a brick of Velveeta and drops it in my...
Don't go down to the valley. Don't go down to the country where people live by the river where they have stone driveways. Fuck. And then drive up their stone driveway and then tell your kids to go up to the porch. There was no Halloween decorations. What did they think?
I think that's like the start of like a German fairy tale that doesn't end too well.
Yeah, well, that's fine. But I wasn't trying to live that. I was literally just trying to get the fire because I was like, I saw these guys on the internet doing it. I want to try it, you know. But that's, you know, that's my origin story.
Yeah.
It's fun, dude.
Dude, it's crazy to like think back that it's already been like a decade, and I don't even feel old. I'm like, I've been doing this for like 10 years now. That'll be 11 years in a couple months. You know, I mean,
well, during that first 10 years, like, what was like the, if you can even like recall it, what was like one point where you felt like this is real for you? You're like, dude, I think like I'm like a glassblower now. And I know it's hard to ever really feel like that, but like we all have a point. Like, I got a collab with like Matt Robertson back in 2016, and I was like, dude, like, this might be real. Yeah. Like,
there was... So I think it was the day that I figured out how to make a fab egg.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I was like, oh, dude, I'm like looking at like Mothership, you know, like they're like the biggest brand, like they're the hypest shit. And I was like, oh, I always want one of those, but I can't afford that shit.
You solved the puzzle, bro.
And I was like, fuck, let me try and make one. And like, I made one.
That's awesome.
And it
awesome.
Was really wonky, but I fucking made it. And I'm like, holy shit. Like, I think that if they can sell those for, you know, $2,000, I can sell those for $200.
Yeah.
And, like, that pays for my daily rent and the material.
And then, you know, dude, like, I think I can blow glass, you know? Too. Like that feeling of, like, knowing you're able to, like, look at something and then make it. That's, like, a crazy feeling for, like, any person. Even if you're just, like, doesn't matter what you do, whether it's, like, dude, building houses or
even
cars.
Even finishing
or
a fucking puzzle in your fucking house.
Dude, building a fucking badass Lego set. Yeah, like, dude. All that feeling of, like, oh, damn, I did that. I made it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that shit's, that's the fun puzzle.
I think the next, like, big, like, aha moment was when, like, you know, dude, being a young kid in this, your emotions take hold of you sometimes.
Yeah.
You're like, fuck this, dude, I'm gonna make this fucking shit, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, I got mad at somebody, so I was like, I can make what he makes if he can make it. You know? And I'm like, you know, the old Gatorade's like, oh, I can do anything.
Bro,
you
I've gotten my feelings hurt before.
You know, like,
I've been there, dude. I've got my feelings hurt before, and I did my best work. Like, literally, someone
hurt my feelings, so I'm gonna do my best. It's like, the dude, it's like those memes of the kids in the gym. Like, be aware of the kid in the gym with the hoodie on that's fucking, you know, like, lifting, you know, lateral raising 100 pounds.
Sure,
it's like, oh, that girl just broke his heart. Now he's gonna go hard, you know?
Dude, for me, I remember, like, back in the day, there was another glass blower that, like, I don't know, some shit happened before I was even really started blowing glass. And then, you know, he made me feel like, I'm not. He's like, basically, him and his guys were like, you're not gonna be able to do this. And I was like, oh my gosh, you don't even know how crazy I am. I'll sell all my landscape equipment.
Dude, being told, like, you and I have that same personality. You tell me we can't do something, I'm gonna make make it my journey. You know,
that's
like, I'm gonna make it my journey and my lineage. You'd be like, oh, dude, I fucking proved you wrong,
dude.
Like, dude, Pedro. Well, this is like where, like, you know, Pedro pushed me one day, and he's like, you can't make a recycler. I can't. I've been blowing glass for a couple of years, and I can't make a recycler. I was like, okay, watch this. The worst looking recycler, but did it recycle? It
fucking
worked.
Recycled. Hell yeah.
You
dude.
Know? That's it worked. Awesome. And then, like, I made a couple, and, like, you know, emotions were, like, tense, so I moved out of there, and I.
Yeah. That's so,
you know,
funny,
like,
dude.
Maybe,
but that's how growth happens. Sometimes sometimes it's painful, and then now, and then you grow up, and then you learn a lot, and then you get better at shit, and then everyone comes back together, and they're like, damn, that was crazy. Like,
dude, but honestly, I without that, I would have never gotten into the position of being able to ask somebody that knew what they were doing what to do.
Oh, for sure.
And then, you know, from there, I like, worked with, like, Wazoo in this little studio that we set up in, like, my buddy's grow, and that didn't go well, because we were in that buddy's fucking grow. I don't know why we thought that'd be a good idea. But yeah, we did that, and then fucking, we got a house, and we set up, like, a real-ass studio in a house where it was, like, me and Jake, and then Hunter came along, and it was me, Jake, and Hunter, and then out of nowhere, fucking young TC decided to pop his fucking face into my life, and then worked on the side of my bench for, you know, a couple months. And then, like, another roommate,
boy.
You know, dude? I had another roommate, Zach. Like, he's like, I want to get into glass. Like, he was always buying super expensive shit. Like, dude, he's the first person, like, of my friend group that I ever watched spend fucking $30,000 on a pipe.
Dude.
Literal $30,000 on a fucking pipe.
Yeah, dude.
And it was, like, it was crazy, because he's, like, fucking buying these pipes. And I'm like, fuck, dude. And he's like, I want to blow glass. So I went and got on, like, the Nortel site and, like, called that dude up in Canada. And I was like, dude, can I get, like, one of these hydras? And he's like, we actually haven't released that torch, but, like, you'll be, like, you're on the list. And somehow I've always been weird that I can always get, like, the first, you know, within the first batch of something from somebody. It's super
strange. I think
because
you ask, like, you're like, a lot of people don't have the confidence to even ask, like,
like,
you have that confidence where you'll, like, ask, or you'll just see, like,
like, the worst thing they're gonna say is no.
That exactly. And that's why you figure things out or get shit.
Like, but, like, we got that kid that Hydra, and it's one of the clunkiest, most awesome torches I've ever seen, because, like, the range of flames on this thing, you can go literally from, like, a single port triple mix to a fucking Red Rocket triple mix.
That's,
like,
crazy.
And it's the clunkiest,
I've never worked on
clunkiest fucking thing, dude. It's like playing an organ. You're like, oh, hitting this pedal, moving this thing, you know. And then, like, we had fucking 5 people in my garage blowing glass, like, about it. And it was crazy because, like, I, like, worked in a studio that there's, like, you know, 10, 15 people blowing glass. But, like,
dude,
this is,
like,
real. Like, we're in my garage.
So it was, like, the ultimate LAN party with the homies.
Dude,
like,
it was
you guys were
so
all plugged in.
Fucking sick. Like, dude, and, like, everybody was making stuff different. And, like, Hunter was learning and Zach was learning. And I bought a lathe. I didn't even know what the fuck I was doing. I bought a lathe. I'm like, this thing's sick. Don't know how to use it. Matt, come pull some fucking wigwag tubing for me. Like, I don't know what I'm doing. Just come over here. I want to, like, try and make some, like, real shitty bitches love dosa readies, you know?
Dude, like, that's why I would love to, like, have a point, like, once a year where we just do, like, try to, like, emulate that in here where we're not, like, doing Bear Mountain stuff, but we're using, like,
making something.
Yeah, and, like, we're all using, like, all the equipment and the stations for that so that, because that's, like, really what I want, but it's, dude, like,
BMS Land Party 2026. Yeah.
And then we do a drop of, like, all the stuff that was made at it. Like,
that actually, dude, I mean, that's always been the most fun, like, working with people like that. Like, the first real experience I had working with, like, huge artists was I went to Melt in, it was 2021. I went to Melt. Like, this is when I was, like, working for Champs, like, working in their glass games with Maddie White and
that was
Kyle
a wild
White
time to go
and,
to Melt, dude, during bro, the Pandy and everything.
Bro, and this is fucked up because, like, we had been in. Dude, that whole thing was a fucking nightmare.
I know, I heard stories
about
that.
It was a fucking nightmare because, like, we're, like, I'm dating Melissa before, like, I propose her. I'm like, hey, I'm going to be gone for a month and a half. Yeah. Can you, like, watch my house and my dogs? And she's like, yeah, whatever. So I'm like, I'm going to, you know, Atlantic City to go do Champs. And then we're going down to our friend's beach house for a week. And then we're going from there to fucking Pennsylvania, bumfuck nowhere, to go blow glass in a circus tent at a child's fucking summer camp.
Why have we not talked about all that?
With, like, no...
dude, like, that sounds ridiculous.
Dude, with, like, no fucking oversight. Just, like, they didn't give a fuck. And, like...
No, we could do a full episode just on Melt. Because that's, like... Dude. I wasn't there, but I know there's stories.
Melt was wild. Yeah. But, like, I mean, we went from, like, being on the road for, like, almost 2.5 weeks... to, like, getting a fucking COVID test, going into this. Dude, we'd been around 10,000 fucking people at camps. We had been, like, all over New Jersey. And, like, they're like, oh, you got to take a COVID test to get in here. And we're like...
To get into Melt?
Dude, to get into Melt. And we're like, fuck, dude, I don't...
Yeah.
I don't know if this is going to work, but, like...
I feel fine, literally.
Sure, like, sure, shove that thing up my fucking nose, I guess. And I'm like, dude, like, dude, and this is... It was such a nightmare. It was a table like this. Fucking some, like, dude, underpaid workers that were, like, medical professionals, you know, like, whatever. And they're like, all right, come over here. And they shove this thing up your nose. They, like, scratch your brain a little bit. Throw it on the table. And there are hundreds of COVID tests on this table. They lose track of them. Like, they're, like, drawing, like, squares around this shit. And I'm, like, looking at them, like, dude, half these are positive. Like, what the fuck? Dude, half of these are positive. You just had to take a COVID test. You didn't have to pass the fucking thing. Had to give it to you, dude.
So you had to go to, like, where they had a test, dude, and bring a... You had to bring a test to
testing us at the camp.
So we're out, like, in the woods, kind of?
Bro, oh my... Dude, I'm not even joking. It's
you were facially penetrated in
bro,
the woods.
Bro, in the woods by some random dude with, like... Dude, it was fucked. But we're, like, standing in line. I'm with fucking Maddie
White. Got
it,
Turner. It's right there.
Dude, yeah. Fuck you. I'm, like, with Maddie White, my buddy Dylan, and, like, Kyle, and, like, a couple other our buddies, and we're like, fuck, dude. Like, we're not passing this shit.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, you just gotta take it. You're like, you don't have to pass. And I'm, like, looking at the... Okay. Dude, they didn't tell anybody that, but, like, that's what it was. Like, you just had to, like, get this shit put in.
Because that's why you were, like, you're seeing people, like, positive things.
Bro,
they
were all positive. Like, every single fucking one of them was positive. And it might have been a bad batch test. Like, who knows? But anyways... Pass that, get your fucking wristband, fucking get your, like, room assignment. Dude, fucking nightmare A. That was crazy.
Yeah, it sounds like a nightmare, dude. Just, like,
Dude, we're in shared fucking things.
Dude,
like,
just
bunk
the
beds.
Smells alone. We're, dude, I don't think I could have done Melt.
Dude, Melt didn't smell, though.
Dude, I would be sweaty. I would smell, dude.
Bro,
everybody's
no,
stinky.
I mean, yeah, well... They had showers. All right. Well, like, we're, like, yeah, we're, dude, we're in these, showers. We're in these, like, cabins, and, like, it's split in the middle. Bathroom at the back. Eight bunk beds. So, like, we chose one side of it. It's, like, me and the crew, like, the Champs crew. And on the other side, it's the fucking Nitrous Mafia. So, like, dude, the first
mafia,
fucking
dude.
Dude, we're, like, getting ready. Like, I'm taking a dab. I just, like, harvested my first crop and I brought some, like, rosin out. And, like, just getting high. Like, all we hear is, like, somebody opening a tea tank into a fucking weather balloon next to us.
What the
we're
fuck?
Like, all right, that's how Melt is going to be,
I guess.
Whatever. Ugh. We, like, go down. We're, like, doing our little, you know, whatever camp introduction. And, like, ran into Pedro. And I was like, yo, dude, like, good to see you. He's like, yeah, we're, like,
dude,
chilling.
Camp introduction. Dude, I really missed out on that, I feel
dude,
like.
Dude, it was literally, like, think of, like, a kid's camp, and it was that.
But with all your all the known glassblowers of the time. Because it seemed like every level of glassblower was there, from like the big dogs down to beginners.
I couldn't even get a torch pass. I had my buddy Mozzie buy a torch pass because I couldn't get one. They're all sold out when I was buying.
It looks crazy how many kilns they had set up outside. I'm like, where's all the power coming from?
Dude, I don't know. I don't know where all that came from. I don't think there was a generator running or anything. Like, it was fucking insane.
I was like, they have to be using 400 amps out there at minimum. Because
in the middle,
like 10 kilns.
In the middle of it, there was like two sets of four huge kilns. Yeah. Like one set, two set. Dude, there was probably 40 fucking tables in there that were so like 16 feet long. And people were blowing glass on both sides of them.
Wait, Pat. Why can't we just do this here in Colorado?
We can. We just need the place to do it. I mean, we got Turner's backyard.
But literally, I could probably do it. I could connect with people and like probably get a space that we're allowed to do this.
It's really finding somewhere that has the infrastructure set up for a camp.
Yeah, well, a glassblowing camp.
If we could go, if we could find like something that had actual like cabins,
bro,
and like it wasn't a cheap ticket. Like it was like, I think the torch ticket was like $1,600 fucking dollars. And there was fucking at least 200 people out there blowing glass, like literally blowing glass. We're in a circus tent, dude. I'm setting up. I'm like, I don't know if I'm supposed to be here.
Was there a lake or something?
Yeah, I fell into
fell into the there was water.
Yeah, there's like water on both sides. So there's like a tent.
There was ground moisture.
There's like a fucking swamp right here. But then, like, dude, I mean, think about, like, you know, like, the Addams Family when... Dude, it was literally... All right, think about the camp that, like, Wednesday Addams...
Yeah.
It was fucking that.
That's awesome.
And, like, we're, like, dude...
Bro, could you imagine glassblowing camp in Colorado, though, like, in the Rockies?
Dude, it'd be so sick. It would be so sick. I mean, where it was awesome, because there was water, there was canoes, there was a... Dude, there's a fishing fucking tournament. You go buy it, you go
hit fucking... Well, there's absolutely private lakes and stuff where they're, like, a camp set up where you could probably rent the whole, like, budget and figure out a way to do it. That'd be... That's something we probably should figure out, because I bet in the future, like...
I have a couple buddies that we can also figure this out with. I know people that we can do this. It's really, like, we can't, you know, fire a festival this motherfucker. We have to do it right, dude. Like,
no, well, we're legit, so
it's expensive up front. It's like, you know, money comes into it, but, like... They had set it up so well. Like, there was their premier artist table, and I fucking accidentally put my torch on it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, whatever, I'm here. You know, I like, who the fuck is this tall-ass motherfucker across from me? Subliminal.
Yeah.
You know, Chaw's on the side of me, Blossom's right there. Sick. Fucking Chaka's behind me, Glass by Boots is behind me.
Them little old Chad Wolf.
The old boy Nico's next to me. And, like, dude, like, I had, like, one of the most humbling experiences there. I was like, in the middle of, like, making, just, like, dude, a simple fucking hash jar, and, like, I had my rollers out. I brought my Herbie. I'm like, I'm bad, bro. Like, I got a Herbie.
Yeah.
I've never used this torch before. Don't mean like an idiot. You know, I'm making this fucking jar, and, like, I turn around, because I'm on the rollers, and I turn around, and, like, I have a group of people watching me.
Yeah.
Like, I have ScoMo, like, how is this kid doing this? Taffy's behind me, like, tearing up. He's like, I think you're one of the first people I've ever seen use the rollers the way I fucking meant to make
That's
them.
Awesome.
I have fucking Avery York talking to like five or six people. Dude, Bando Dunham is standing behind me watching me blow glass, and I'm like, I can't fuck this up now. And I finish the jar, and I like look behind me, and like, dude, I literally had a group of people that are like, holy shit, you can blow glass. Like,
dude, that's
who the fuck
awesome.
Are you? You know? And then
that's such a cool. That's
like,
yeah.
And then another, you know, like we'd been day drinking. I'm like looking over at Subliminal. He's like making a joint. I was like joking with him. I was like, bro, I'm making that joint better for you.
Yeah.
And he's like, whatever, kid. And then like 5 minutes later, he walks over to me. He's like, here's piece two.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, you have extra of this if I fuck it up, right? And he's like, no, don't fuck up. And I hand him back a joint. He's like, thanks, dude. Like, that's fucking sick. And
yeah.
He's like, that's fucking sick.
Dude, that's like one thing people like, I feel like people that collect glass don't even realize is that like handmade fittings. Or and making not even handmade, just making fittings, handmade or not, but making any fitting out of glass, like a lot of people struggle with that.
Oh yeah.
And you can even be the most skilled fitting maker and have days where like the glass or the color you're using just doesn't want it to happen for some reason.
Yeah.
And that's why it's like I've talked to people who like work in manufacturing and work in other sectors that isn't like what we do, but has similarities. And the one part we always get to with them that they can't figure out is like, how do you like work for a day and not get like paid? Like if something like breaks or like you have no control over it, they're like, that's like crazy. And like I'm like, yeah, it's like we have to find ways to mitigate that from happening.
Yeah, you gotta have a little money in case that happens.
Yeah,
and
that's...
B, don't do that.
Yeah, and try your best not
like,
to.
Try your best not
but
to.
But Cass was even saying to me the other day, when I first started, like, the first, like, 4 or 5 years, it was breaking so much glass.
Oh, yeah.
Like, even if I finished something, like, didn't mean I was gonna sell it, but it was, like, that was a huge accomplishment, because I was, like, everything was breaking. And yeah. I was, like, how am I gonna pay for this next thing? Like, it was nuts, dude.
Yeah.
Like...
I mean, dude, breaking glass is just, you know, paying the piper, literally.
It is.
Like, I feel like you have to break more than you make more.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
I did in the beginning, for sure.
That's, like, the one thing I'll always leave somebody with when they're asking about glassblowing, how to get into it. I was like, are you okay with, like, you know, failing? Because a lot of it is failing and learning from what happened and how can you mitigate that the next time you do it. And it's a very humbling experience to, like, put hours into something and, like... you know, a third of your fucking life.
And I would say people only do that if you want to do this for a long time.
Yeah.
Because, like, you can do it for a couple of years and just spend a bunch of money and then be like, I was a glassblower once. But if you, like, want to be in this, like, you have to be strategic with things because there's a high rate of failure, especially when you're trying to push yourself and try new pieces or anything. It's almost, like, it always reminds me when I used to pop, like, seeds and grow weed, like, there was like if you
better hit.
Dude, yeah, like hopefully these fucking seeds are fire this time. Like I could just go get cuts that I know are gonna yield, but like I really wanna like push the boundaries and find something new. And I feel like we do that a lot here. Like we have like products that we know like our collectors want and love, but then there's like we're always trying to push some new and like different thing and shit.
Yeah, I mean it's not getting stagnant and understanding that like this is such a volatile thing we do, like this could literally all be gone tomorrow.
And how I see it, too, is, like, we're in, like, almost, like, the in-between point, too, where it's, like, we're making new stuff, but there's so many big projects that are on the horizon that, like, we're just basically trying to get to that next step where we can unleash that next thing.
Yeah.
And it's, like, everything we're doing in between seems to still be pushing, the like, at least ourselves and, like, learning more and, like, I don't know, putting out different stuff consistently. But also having things that people are actually collectible where they can rely on a specific design and know, like, oh, I want to collect this style or that style, like... there is differences, but they're, like, minor variances, but it just depends on the hit you like. But, yeah, dude, it's crazy how early we get in here, dude.
Yeah,
and also, like, also, I didn't tell Pat he was doing this to everybody. I literally, I was like, yeah, we're having a special guest today. It's exciting, dude. Wait till you see.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, because I told him, I was like, I don't want you to even know. I want you to be zero prepared.
Yeah.
Just so I can just bring you on here. Just
you know how to get the cat hair off me.
Yeah, yeah, dude, it's fine, dude. Doesn't matter. I don't ever. I'm usually covered in cat hair and shit and everything.
Yeah.
But, yeah, dude, it's crazy. You're in, like, going into, you'll be year three helping us over here come February of this next year, right? That's nuts, dude. February's tomorrow.
Dude, pretty much.
It's crazy. And, like, getting ready for PuffCon and everything we'll be working on, like.
Oh, dude, I'm excited for the people to see, like, the dedication we have to this shit. Oh, my God. And, like, that's, like, the coolest thing about those, you know, in-person events is you actually get to see genuine emotion come from people.
Oh, yeah, and it
like,
gives
that's
it
better
motivates.
Than the money, dude. Like, that's, like, being seeing people psyched on something that was created, you know, for them to enjoy and, like, see the level of enjoyment come from these, you know, awesome people that want to buy the work that we produce.
It's probably the most,
like...
Dude,
I'm like, you know, I don't have kids, but I'm thinking it's the first time your kid calls you that, you know?
Oh,
like,
dude,
holy
it's,
shit,
bro.
Dude, we fucking are doing this.
Dude, yeah, know? No, it feels real. And, like, that's, for me, too, that was a huge motivator in the beginning. It's just because you feel like, it's like this, almost this weird primal feeling of, like, the tribe, like, likes me, like, I'm worth something, I have value. Not that we don't, without, like, our skills in glass have value, but it's just this weird chord it hits when you see people genuinely stoked on something you're doing. And, like, telling you what they like about it or how they see something or what that piece reminds them of. Just connecting with a stranger over something that you made is a really cool feeling. And a lot of people experience that in different things. People that make bread or people that do paintings, you can experience people, like, loving or enjoying the things you made. And that's just – and most people say that. Like, that's – like, obviously, being able to pay the bills and buy material is great.
It's awesome.
But the thing that you can't buy is that genuine connection with someone that you don't know comes up and tells you they like it. Because your mom and dad are going to tell you they love it, or your friends, or your wife.
If somebody's going to be there that shouldn't – that just tells you that because they love you. Not
because
they love what you're doing and, like, they're actually psyched that you're doing this.
Yeah,
you know,
dude.
Like, you know,
and
that's, like, the truth. It really is just, like, the human interaction part where we get to experience, like – a little dopamine release because there are people psyched about what
and
has been produced.
If we're going to be doing more of these events like this, at least that's our goal, then, like, definitely want to do more stuff like this so that when people come to the booth, like, there's always some people that are aware, like, oh, there's Patrick. Yeah. Or some may call you Chad Wilk.
That's fine.
I mean, it might happen. Dude, that's your fucking Instagram name.
That's my favorite thing, dude. I removed my name from my Instagram fucking 4 years ago, and it's been awesome. Because it's just funny, dude. Like, you've seen it, dude. A couple people come through the studio that I know, that they know me for years. I'm like, oh, Chad. And
yeah,
I'm like,
funny.
Yeah, dude, that's me.
That's why I had to hit you with Chad at the beginning.
Yeah, that's just tight. No, I mean...
just to fuck with you a little bit. I have to.
No, I mean, dude, I did that to myself. You know, we were sitting around a fucking grow table, and I was like, who buys pipes? You know, yeah. Chads and Wooks. And my buddy Migo's like, you won't change your name to that right now. And I was like,
right, yeah, I will.
I'll change my name to that right now. Like, that's I don't so know what funny. The fuck you're talking about, dude, kid.
That's so funny. Yeah. Dude, yeah, on principle. Kinda,
that's literally, like, I'm telling you, like, that's, like, the best way to motivate me is tell me I can't fucking do it. Or tell me I'm doing a good job. That doesn't, you know, that makes me think I'm doing something wrong. And it's pretty fucked up.
Dude, this piece came out so nice, too, yeah. Dude. I've been smoking it a bunch. Function's crazy. Cool. Have you done, like, a lot of, like, Incalmo line work besides here at Bear Mountain, like, prior to that? Or has this been...
I was, like, doing it in a much different way. But, yeah, I've done, like, Incalmo work. All of my work used to be, like... in Palmo, not like, you know, small lines, but everything,
yeah,
had,
because, like, it didn't seem like you were figuring it out here. No. It seemed like you were just like, oh yeah, this is how, yeah, I would do it, like, yeah. So yeah, so when like, was it more just used to, like, put lippies on other patterns, or did,
yes,
you actually, so
I was, okay, like, honestly, like, the first real Incalmo piece I made with you,
yeah,
like, everything that I was doing, I was putting lippies on it, and I only, yeah, started doing that because I was getting these, like, at the bottom of my drain welds, I was getting micro bubbles,
yeah,
that would pop, and it became a hole, so,
yeah,
like, how do I negate that? Just fucking brat black around it.
Yeah,
it can't
black
gonna
lippy,
fucking,
yeah,
blow up.
Dude,
know?
There's so many little things over the years, like, in pieces like that, like, there's a reason, like, something is a certain,
yeah,
way, and it's for a consistency across the board while I'm making these things.
Yeah.
Like,
trying,
like,
to constantly negate the issue that you've already created,
yeah,
before.
And that's one of the parts of the puzzle, too, I find here, is that, like, we'll have a bunch of cool ideas, and we can, like, execute anything. Like, I think that me and you could literally make
anything
out, like, of glass. Like,
yeah, I mean,
we're
about
wanted
to finish a project that should have been done fucking years ago.
Yeah. Like, we can do anything out of glass, but the issue is then, like, how do you do that more than once?
Yeah.
And then how do you do it in a way that makes sense so that, like, we're not working for, like, $4 an hour?
Yeah, yeah, I mean, that's,
know,
like, the reality,
yeah,
is, like, we can make... Dude, you and I, like I said, you and I, the best thing that I've experienced about working with you is that we can bounce ideas off and problem solve.
Yeah.
Know, that's really actually hard to come by with in anything.
For,
know,
sure. And you have, especially, to deal, and you have to deal with
have,
how stoned I am all the time.
Dude,
so,
and,
but,
like, especially with, like, how much of each one of us has,
yeah,
come into this, like, being able to be humble and, like, remove that,
yeah,
little bit of ego from it and be like,
oh, for sure.
Like, all right, we can talk, you know, like, we can figure this out.
I think all of us had done, I think that comes from just having some experience in this industry of,
yeah,
buying your own equipment, selling your own glass, like, doing the whole thing, and then all of us going, like, damn, dude, like, this shit's crazy. Could we maybe just, like, work together? So, like,
let's,
you know,
not work against each other. Let's,
yeah,
let's come up with a common ground that we can,
yeah,
do.
Yeah, because I just think it's just, like, and even if, like, you know, all things are temporary, but even if we get this moment of being able to, like, build something as a team and, like,
yeah,
learn how to work together and do something a little bit differently, I think that's important for the industry as a whole, because other people might be able to follow that same pattern and then build something we weren't able to. You,
yeah,
never know, like, where it kind of leads to. But yeah, I'm hoping that, like, you know, in the future here, like, we have even more, like, more time for, like, other projects that aren't just the Bear Mountain stuff. Cause, like, a lot of people, they'll be like, oh, why don't you just make more glass? I'm like, literally, like, we're working so much, and, like,
we could if we would.
Or yeah,
we, if we could, we would.
We,
yeah,
would, yeah. Like, believe
there's
me, like,
so much.
We would all like to make some more glass.
Dude, people don't even realize how much goes into, like, the tiny shit. You
the
know?
Tiny shit, yeah. Like, a lot of the smaller stuff, like, we don't even like doing the math on it because it's, like, they're
the
tight
math
margins.
Isn't math.
But at the same time, like, we like to have all different styles pieces because, mm-hmm, people like different hits, and, like, we want to make sure we have the flavors there for our customers.
Yeah.
I fucking hate when a restaurant or someone discontinues my favorite flavor or dish. I'm like, dude, what the fuck? Like,
yeah,
literally, I like the same thing. Can I just have that thing that you make? Oh, or a,
yeah,
drink they take away. Either way, whatever. But yeah, make sure you guys check out Patrick's Instagram, Chadwick Glass. You can see his actual artwork there. He does everything with me here at Bear Mountain, makes incredible pieces, but he also has his own stuff he does too. And he might even have some pieces available right now. You should really check it out and show Patrick some support. Incredible artist. And yeah, I'm super grateful to have him here helping us. Like, it feels like just yesterday started, but the more and more I look back through my phone and get memories, I'm like, God damn, Patrick was working with us when that happened. Yeah. And that happened.
Yeah.
And now so it's like crazy to think about that, like, a large percentage of my last career has already been spent working with Patrick on all this shit here at Bear Mountain. We're grateful to have him. And yeah, I'm going to have definitely him on more and some more guys on the team so we can all get to know everyone. Because we're all working on so much that you guys need to meet everybody on the team. Anything you have to say, dude.
We'll do the whole melt breakdown one day for these people.
Yeah, exactly. We can make it that Patreon only episode.
Yeah, we probably should. We should probably do that.
Just for the people who care and love us who are watching it.
Yeah, that there's some stories there. But no, dude, like, I just want to, you know, say thank you for giving me the experience to, like, be a part of this team.
Fuck yeah, dude. Yeah, we're grateful for it, too. All right, everybody, thank you. Episode 175. Check out bmsclass.com. Sign up for our newsletter so you can stay up to date on all of our drops and everything we're doing at Bear Mountain. And, yeah, Pat's fucking killing it. Yeah. He makes absolutely beautiful stuff. And we hope all y'all have a great day. Thanks, everybody.